You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. It's Monday and it's June 30th. That's right, John, right?
Did you answer that email?
I did.
Your
answer
cell phone's
that email.
Going off.
Oh, my cell phone is going off.
What's going on? What's going on? Did you answer the email?
Does that mean I'm distracted?
What's
that thing beeping? If I'm talking to you and looking at my email and listening for my cell phone, is that bad?
I think it just shows what an extraordinary multitasker you are.
Multitasker I am. Does that mean I'm losing focus, Maggie Jackson?
It probably does.
It probably does. Maggie Jackson has just joined us. She is the author of Distracted, The Erosion of Attention and the Coming Dark Age. That sounds pretty ominous.
I know it does. That's a real attention-grabbing title, isn't
dark
it?
Dark Age. Yeah, it's designed to distract people.
Right, right. But dark ages are not all bad.
How distracted are we?
Well, we're very distracted. We're living in this era of split focus, of continuous partial attention. We're undermining our powers of attention. And I think that, you know, since attention is one of the core skills of humanity, that's really dangerous.
So what are we losing out on then?
Well, attention is key to learning, to deep learning, to memory, to happiness, to developing a conscience. And when we're, you know, living this hyper-mobile, it's not just the BlackBerry, the iPod, the gadgets. You know, we're living this holistically split-focus, hyper-mobile kind of society, you know, ways of living, and that's undermining our skills and powers of attention. And the costs are we're not going deeply in thought or in our relationships. You know, we're depending. What's first up on Google? We're mistaking that for sense-making and knowledge-making. And we're living on diets of snippets and glimpses of each other. You know, we can connect with millions of people around the world, but we have trouble sitting down to dinner with those we love. And I think that's, you know, we're off kilter.
Is that a new cultural trend, though? Because even in your book, for example, you start off with an 1880 movie, Wired Love, talking about how the telegraph line was how it affected a romance between a man and a woman. So this notion of technology impinging upon our personal relationships is something that we've been dealing with for decades and decades
right.
and decades.
I think that's really true. And we've been building toward this climate of distraction for a long time. And that's one reason we can't just blame the BlackBerry. We've been trying to control and stop and start time. As human beings, we've, you know, shattered distance for 150, 200 years. And so the point is, the roots of this kind of culture go very deep.
You know, that's what's interesting about your book. I mean, I think, you know, I'm going to ask you about the evidence that actually we are having problems. And stop, Dylan, stop this. I mean, running a radio show is the most distracting thing you can do, by the way. But, you know, it's so interesting that this has been building for centuries, as you just said. I mean, really, even beyond 150, 200 years. But it also, you know, describes an arc that took place at the beginning of the Renaissance when books stopped being manuscripts and became things you could carry around. It popularized the idea that you didn't have to be a monk to think, to contemplate, to read for long periods of time. The technological revolution, you know, 1,000 years ago, actually created the world of deep thought, and that's what's ending now.
Yeah, so that's a really good point.
Allegedly ending.
Allegedly,
right,
well.
Right. Well, Jeremy Rifkin says that, you know, turning points in civilizations occur when humans experiences changes in time and space. And that's exactly what we're going through, this sort of quantum change in how we experience time and space. And that really changes, you know, how we experience time, how we experience our physicality, you know, how we operate. And that changes how we pay attention. So really, the cost is to our powers of attention.
What's the evidence that we're losing our powers of attention? I mean, you know, did you actually hang out at people's dinner tables,
seeing how much trouble they had talking to their families? Yeah, what are the examples?
There are no, you know, perfect examples of the attention span A 100 years ago was X, you know, attention span B, you know, but, you know, just in terms of, well, at work, study after study has shown that knowledge workers, the average office workers today, switches tasks every 3 minutes. And when they're interrupted, it takes 25 minutes for them to return to their original task. So this is a sort of work fragmentation that chops up what you're doing all day long.
Do corporations like this, or do they want to change it?
Well, I think corporations, we all value movement and activity. We don't really value pause or stasis. Any worker sitting there just thinking is deemed to be kind of a loser. So again, it's a cultural thing. But companies now are beginning to feel really uneasy. I mean, I've gotten this tremendous response from the corporate world, almost more than parents, about, worried about this sort of culture of multitasking.
Which has led to the Overload Research Group conference, which is actually happening next week, which is led by Intel, Google, and Microsoft. There's great irony there.
Right. They're creating the technologies that put us in this place in the first place. Yeah, yes.
Thanks a lot, guys.
But yeah, how do you do knowledge work when you're switching tasks all day long frenetically?
It's a good question for our audience. How do you deal with the distractions? We want you to call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Let us know what distraction means to you. How embarrassed have you been if you were like doing multitasking in the middle of, say, your daughter's wedding and everybody noticed? Tell us some sort of... What?
Am I your love?
Dylan. He's distracting me. I've totally lost my train of thought.
I'll finish the thought for you. Maggie Jackson, you're going to hang with us for a little bit. Right now, we're going to get the headlines from Femi. Okay. Thank you, Femi.
Great, Dylan.
Hello there. Just coming out to 28 minutes past.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.